On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel, or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless others.
So, church, we find ourselves on the tail end of a sermon series that canvasses one significant word. And at this point in week four, you may have been convinced in this sermon series that I've called Open that it would never come to a close. But I promise you, today is the last Sunday for that series that we've been in. And if you're just joining us, you have known that we have focused on that one word is so significant in the birth narrative of Jesus. And all of the events and circumstances that came to pass that came to a head in the face of Jesus. And irrespective of whether you were male or female, rich or poor, if you were a Jew or a Gentile, we see all of those players were diverse in their own likeness and were diverse in their own ways. But of all things that they weren't, one thing bound and unified them, and that was just that they were open. They were just open. They're open to the Lord's movement in and through them, sometimes in spite of them. They weren't impeccable people. They were just available people. And we see for those who avail themselves for the purposes of God, divine opportunities are created to the extent that we're open. That we're open. And so we continue on that path this Sunday. We're canvassing a certain familiar scene in the shepherds. And I told you to begin with that their story isn't just a story. Their story is so much like ours, and this word will challenge us to see it as such. So if you'll join me in the reading of our gospel message, you'll find in Luke chapter 2, and your pew Bibles are on the screen. For the sake of clarity, I'm reading from 8 to 20. Out of respect for the gospel, I know you just had a seat for the hymn, but I'm going to ask that you stand to receive our word this morning. Luke recounts to say that in that region there were shepherds living in the fields. They were keeping their flock. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. And then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were in fear. They didn't anticipate that kind of message, but the angel said to them, much like many angels did to this point, "Don't be afraid, for see, I am bringing good news of great joy for all of the people. For to you today is born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You're going to find a child. The child's going to be the sign. Flesh-wrapped, this sign will be, in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And when they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But what did I do? I skip? Yes, I did. Told you I'm on my game. I'm on 3 hours, folks. So the chorus of angels come. Rewind just a little bit. They were afraid. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace. What we've examined among those whom he favors." When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went. That's important. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds then returned. They went back to work, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is a word of God, written for a people of God, and we say, thanks be to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord as we pray. Lord, I know that what I'm about to speak has no calorie, no ounce of power, unless it's inspired by your Holy Spirit. And so as a people who proclaim ourselves open, Let us receive this word in a brand new way. And as we receive it in a brand new way, may we enflesh it in a brand new way. Change us and challenge us. Convict us if necessary. But more importantly, transform us into a people who understand we leave this place not impeccable, but available. And upon us being available, opportunities are created whereby we might see ourselves, the rest of the world, and our relationship with you in a brand new way. So, Lord, have your way over this word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just the other day, as is typical in a particular season where packages arrive on your front porch, the Steele family received this package. And this package was posted to us. It had the right name in the address, and in fact, it contained what we ordered in it. But it was apparent, given the way that the package felt, that there was a package inside the package. There was a box inside the box. I didn't think much of it, but later, when my wife, Emily, pried open the package, she saw the item that we ordered, but also took out of it the smaller box that just so happened not to belong to us. It was actually addressed to some woman in Honolulu, Hawaii, on the other side of the nation, who apparently paid for two-day packaging, who apparently paid for two-day mail service. And when she opened the big box and took out the little box and saw the address, she went, "Oh, how disappointing." And immediately I finished her thought for her in my mind, mentally, within milliseconds. And this is where my mind went. She said, "Oh, how disappointing." And I thought to myself, yeah, how disappointing to be delivered something at the end of the day that didn't belong to you. That wasn't yours. That wasn't intended for you. I wanted it to be mine. I wanted it to have my name on it. There aren't many things more disappointing than to be the wrong recipient of a gift. To know that it was meant for someone for sure, but it just arrived by mistake on your doorstep. That it was meant for somebody, but just not you. And that's where my mind went. And Emily, on the other hand, was less self-absorbed than your pastor was. And she finished her thought. She said, "Oh, how disappointing that there is somebody who is waiting to receive this gift, but it's a long shot that it ever gets there. It's a long ways away." And I got to say, I felt guilty for thinking the way that I did. But God used the misplaced package to deliver a message, and it's this. I got to thinking as I studied this word this week as it pertained to the shepherds. There are many people, brothers and sisters, who for whatever reason feel like the good news of the gospel that we encounter in this word just wasn't meant for them. That the good news just doesn't belong to them. That it doesn't address them, that it wasn't meant for them, that it's not intended for them. And if it does, they're too far away, that we're too far off. It's a long shot. That news this good would ever get to them. In other words, that there's no way a gift like that would go that far. And you know, with that, I can't shake the thought that the shepherds felt the same. I can't shake it. That these people in this particular place felt the same way. Now, you have to know something about shepherds. Our Christmas time and the glitter kind of causes us to form the wrong picture of shepherds. We kind of over-glamorize them, but they weren't glamorous at all. In fact, these were people who held vocations that were on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic spectrum. They weren't liked people. They were disgraceful. They lived in the margins of society. They spent their time in the open air. They served animals. They slept with animals. They spent time with animals and therefore bore the stench of an animal. Nobody wanted to be around them. It wasn't a prosperous vocation. It wasn't something that was prideful to have. The shepherds were in a very, very different group, in a very different population. In fact, people despise shepherds because oftentimes as a means of caring for their flock, they encroached on the property of somebody else so that they could provide for their animals. And I couldn't help in some ways to think that the shepherds were in that similar space. Shepherds, you know, were used to looking down. They're used to looking down. It's just what they did. They were used to looking down because they cared for creatures. They cared for animals that were beneath them. It's just what they did. It was their work. But it's one thing to understand that you look down because it's what you do. But it's another thing in life to look down because that's just how life is. It's just who you are. And the shepherds were used to not only looking down because it's what they did, they were used to living down because they were convinced that it's who they were. Because the popular perception around the people in that place at that time was that they were the creatures that were beneath everybody else. And I studied the shepherds this week. God placed it on my heart, I believe, to preach about it this morning. And as I studied the shepherds, I was compelled to ponder how many people live life like that. How many people that we know live life never lifting their eyes to another level? Because enough has happened to convince them that good news doesn't get to them. The good news doesn't reach them. The good news doesn't belong to them. That the package just doesn't apply. And if it does, if good news does reach them, it must have reached them by mistake. That they must have had the wrong address. Surely something like the love of the Lord wasn't meant for someone like them. There's no way a gift like that would go that far. There's no way the presence of a God who sits on that high of a throne would descend in such a way and deliver a message to people who live and look so low. I can't conceive it. But their story is our story. I want us to be able to see that the spaces that they inhabit physically is oftentimes the spaces we inhabit emotionally and spiritually. Brothers and sisters, I want to say that you're a shepherd if you've ever found your space where you've walked alone and you were convinced that you were going to stay in isolation. I want to say that you're a shepherd if you've ever known what it means to lose and to hurt because you've lost. I want you to know that you're a shepherd if you've ever felt unworthy or unloved. I want you to know that you're a shepherd if you've ever walked in a dark place by yourself and you've glanced up to the sky and you wondered in some places if God really cares about you. You're a shepherd if you've ever messed up and people's glances around you and people that you know or don't know remind you of the mistake that you made. You're a shepherd if what you do on a daily basis keeps you away from the people that you love and you feel bad about it. I want you to know that you're a shepherd if you feel like you ever didn't fit in. There are some people who darken the doors of a church who find themselves in worship and don't really feel like there's a place for them because they just don't fit. You're a shepherd. You're a shepherd if you've ever been alone at significant times and the silence is deafening. You're a shepherd if you've ever been pinned in a specific place where you're living paycheck to paycheck. You don't have enough to make ends meet. You're a shepherd if you've ever been certain of what you do on a daily basis is unseen and therefore insignificant. Now that you talk about it that way, Pastor Jake, the story gets a little bit more real. It's not just a story anymore. It's actually my reality because I find myself in pockets and places where I feel the same way. I feel like them. If that's you, if that's you saying it might as well be me in Bethlehem because that's where I am right now or that's who I am. If that's you, then you need to understand then that's why Christmas is so crucial. That's why it's so important. Contrary to what culture tries to communicate, that's why Christmas is so crucial, because the good news of Christmas, brothers and sisters, is that God's found a way to break into the world and share a message. That God's found a way to break into the world, and that message wasn't proclaimed at the palace. It was proclaimed, it was shouted to the shepherds. It was shouted to the people who live lives just like us. Just like you, just like someone that you know. And it's God's way of whispering You know, if you didn't understand it when the law came down on the tablets and we had to break the tablets and rewrite the law and to say it again, if it didn't happen then and it didn't happen through the prophets who I've commissioned to take a place and to be a mouthpiece, you've killed the prophets. I'm just going to have to step into the scene myself and show you the lengths to which I would go to extend you the message. And the message is this: since you can't come to me, I'm going to make an attempt to come close to you. And there's no place that I won't go to reach you. And there's no position that I won't assume to show you the depth of my love for you. There's nothing I won't do to reach you. There is a famed author and theologian. Maybe some of you know him. His name is Frederick Buechner. And in his book, Face in the Sky, he has this to say. It's a powerful word. Listen to this. He says, those who believe in God and see God in a stable can never be sure where God will appear or to what lengths God will go or to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation the Lord will descend in his wild pursuit of humanity. If holiness and the awful power and majesty of God were present in this least auspicious of all events, this birth of a peasant's child, then it goes to follow there's no place or no time so lowly and earthbound that prevents holiness from being present there too. From present being present here too. You know, church, why Bethlehem and not somewhere bigger or better? You know, why to a carpenter named Joseph and not to a king named Julius? Why would the news come to a peasant woman and not some pageant winner? Why God in the weakness of a baby and not in the strength of a brute? Why? Because it seems that the message is transparent. It seems the message God wants us to submit in our minds is that God finds a way to dwell in the everyday. In everyday places, in everyday people, with everyday positions who experience everyday problems, people just like the shepherds, people just like us. Because of Christmas, brothers and sisters, nobody here can claim, well, I'm just. Nobody has the comfort of claiming, well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, or I'm just a sitter. Oh, I don't know about me, I'm just a teacher. I don't know about me, I'm just a teller at the bank, and I don't know about me, but I'm just an attorney at the office, and I don't know about me because I'm just a clerk at checkout. I don't know about me because I'm just on staff at late shift. If you believe in the birth of Bethlehem, brothers and sisters, no one is safe to assume that since it's simple, it's insignificant. Because God took a high place and was brought to a low place, so low they couldn't believe that the message came to them and they would be the vehicles. The shepherd's story is our story. Just because you live a simple life and you do a job that some people think is simple doesn't mean it's insignificant. Why? Because when those shepherds set foot on that manger scene, what happened was a divine association that would be sealed forever. When those shepherds set foot on that manger scene, what they did for a living would forever be associated to who he was. You see, Jesus took something that was very secular, and by extending the invitation for those shepherds to come and be the first eyewitnesses, Jesus took something secular and made it sacred. So then everything they do in a secular eye became sacred because what they did was joined with who he was. You get that? What they did for a living was joined with who he was and what he was prepared to do. What they did with shepherd was joined with who he was, the good shepherd. In other words, brothers and sisters, as I close, your work is his witness. Oftentimes we leave Sunday morning worship and we have no connection from the sacred to the secular. But because Christ came down and entered into this world, the sacred becomes secular and the secular becomes sacred. Your work is his witness. What you do on a daily basis becomes the portal through which your witness takes place, through which his witness takes place. Jesus says, the way that I'm going to witness to the rest of the world, shepherds, is through the work that you do. and the way that you do it. And so invariably, the work that you do will be your witness to the rest of the world of me. You lead your sheep to green pastures? That's what I'm going to do. You lead a flock through the valley of the shadow? That's what I'm prepared to do. You're ones who are prepared to leave the 99, the safety of the sheepfold, and come searching for the one that is lost. Guess what? My purpose is to come to seek out and to save the lost. You're ones who are going to lay your lives down for the flock that you love. Well, guess what? That's why I came. And so what you do on a daily basis is my witness for the rest of the world. And what you do for the rest of the world is your witness for what I'm prepared to do globally. Your work is his witness. And his witness manifests itself in the way that you work. The vocational becomes spiritual when you bring Jesus into it, when you invite Jesus into it, when you make him a part of it. With that, Monday shouldn't be all that mundane. Your work tomorrow or your travel tomorrow, whatever it is that you do, even in retirement, shouldn't be rote. It shouldn't be boring. Your work tomorrow on Monday shouldn't be mundane. It's a mission for whoever is placed on your path who feels that the good news of God would never get to them. We are the shepherds. We are the shepherds. Who's willing? Who's willing to leave this place and walk? Where are the shepherds who are willing in a daily walk to bear witness? Brothers and sisters, let me close to say we receive the most precious gift the world has to offer when we make a decision to be one ourselves, to be a gift, to share with other people that the God that we worship, the God that you see in Christmas, is a God that's come down to be just like you, right where you are, right where you stand, right where you live, right with what you do, so that you could learn to be like God. We receive the most precious gift this world has to offer when we take the risk of becoming one ourselves. And the gift might come in the most unlikely of ways, the most unlikely of times, the most unlikely of people, but take it from the shepherds. They weren't the most honorable. They weren't the most reputable. They weren't the most desirable. But guess what? They were the most available. They were the most open. What about you? In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless others. Thank you.